Before we start today's show, you should know that we have over 1,000 episodes of The Real Ass Podcast available on demand, ad-free, and uncensored at GasDigital.com. Not only that, we do a bonus Friday show that is exclusively for subscribers. You gotta check us out. To subscribe, just go to GasDigital.com and use the promo code RAP. You'll save $1.50 a month, and it helps out the show. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy Louis J. Gomez.
We're Metal Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband.
Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast, live, not live, we're not live, we're living, we don't live here. We are in Dallas doing a podcast. Welcome, it's the Monday show. It's, we're fucking crushing it. I'm here with the great Naeem Ali.
What up?
The great Sam Mini.
Hey.
Back by popular demand. People love Sam Mini on the last show, so we're gonna have a great time, man. I don't know anything about Dallas. It's a little too clean for me.
Yeah, it's super clean.
I like it. I like
no litter.
I like to be a little dirty, a little bit grimy. You go to Austin, yeah. You go to Houston, there's fucking just some scuzz in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Dallas, there's just not enough scuzz.
No, the super clean, cleanest streets, almost like Canada.
How do you feel, Naeem? Because you're a little bit hood like me. You're actually more hood than me. I think you're more hood than me. What the fuck was that? Are we okay? Sir. Sir, are we still recording? As long as we're still going.
Computer is making weird noises and shit, bro.
Fucking Ellis, man. Yeah, by the way, thanks. Shout out to Ellis. What's the name of the studio here, dude?
ELE Studio.
Boy, Ellis hooked it up. We needed a place to record, so I do appreciate you using this. The computer's making lots of noises. That's okay. It's going to be all okay. It's doing it over and over again, Ellis.
Yeah, that's a Bluetooth. Yeah.
It's your Bluetooth speaker. That's all it is. We're good. You see how distracted I get?
Same.
Do you feel, when you're in like a nice place, do you feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, I do.
Still?
Yeah, at first.
Yeah.
At first, I feel uncomfortable. Then after a while, I warm up. But at first, I'm like, yo, they're going to know I don't belong here. Like, somebody's going to come kick me out. Yeah. I feel like I got to ask permission for things.
Yeah, like I'm starting to get used to like going to like nice places now. Like I go to nice restaurants a lot. You know, I'll go to nice hotels or whatever. But like, there is something about like to this day, like when I roll a blunt, like I'll go sit on a park bench and I like feel at home.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like I was outside of the hotel. I was just sitting on a scuzzy ass bench, mm-hmm. And I was like, this is like what it needs to be.
It's what I'm supposed to be.
And that's where I feel most comfortable because I grew up in fucking absolute squalor. Sam, you grew up in Buffalo. That's all scuzz buckets up there, too.
Well, I'm from Tonawanda originally, which is like 20 minutes north of downtown Buffalo, and it's just the most burby burbs to ever burb.
Okay, so it's not as scuzzy?
Yeah, I live like Tonawanda, Amherst area. It was just...
I don't like saying Tonawanda.
Tonawanda. No, you're going to have me say it.
I don't like it. Can we just say you're from Buffalo? Can we go back to that?
Yeah.
We've been.
I mean, downtown Buffalo is kind of gross.
It's all gross. It's grimy as fuck. You took us to. We were in Fort Worth, and Sam took us to Buffalo Brothers, which was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my entire life.
What a nice place.
It was not good. I would rather relive my mother's death than have another meal at Buffalo Brothers. It was fucking
that bad.
No, it was really really bad.
They were very unwelcoming.
Yeah.
And unapologetic.
They were mean. They didn't care. They were fucking rude as fuck. You eat like a child. And I mean, it's fucking crazy. Sam just eats hot dogs and pizza.
I've never seen that before.
I've never seen it before. We're like all just trying to like fucking do our thing. How old are you now, Sam?
26.
26 years old.
Eating hot dogs and pizza.
Yeah, I'm on a hot dog hot streak.
At the same damn time. That's crazy.
This is then, you know.
I didn't eat the pizza. It was bad.
Oh, God.
I was really excited to have, like, some buffalo pizza.
Dang.
This is how you know Sam is not attracted to us, because Sam was just fucking burping hot dogs up. Well, she didn't give a shit at all, dude. She was like, I'm going to have the shits after this.
fucking cram it, French fries.
It was absolutely rancid.
I had a cigarette in the hot dogs.
Some guys are into it. Some guys like a chick who just like eats shitty food. Like, I see that and I'm like, that is fucking okay. I feel like you're going to be a bad influence on me.
Yeah.
I need a bitch that's eating a salad, who's like just has a little like dainty, like, oh no, that's too much. And then I feel like a fucking slob for eating that way. The way she, yesterday, last night, we got back to the hotel. We rolled down the lobby. I got fucking two Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
I got fucking.
That has nothing to do with me.
No, it had everything to do with me.
I got a healthy little microwave meal.
I
got a grilled chicken pesto.
It wasn't healthy. You didn't tell him not to get it. He got it. And I was like, yo, you know, you get a Hot Pocket. You was like, I mean, it does look good. That's what you said. You said it does look good. And then he got it.
So your Hot Pockets, first of all, I don't want to Jim Gaffigan up this podcast right now, but Hot Pockets are, they're actually crazy. What they are is psychotic. You forget how bad they are. You think they're going to be good, but they're not good. They're fucking awful. You microwave them for like fucking 4 minutes, and you don't realize this. The outside of it cools in like 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
The outside of it is like cold to the touch within 10 seconds. Yeah. The inside of it is boiling hot fucking lava for the next 35 minutes.
Yeah,
so I burnt the tip of my tongue on my Hot Pocket last night. Everything sucks. Yeah, it's awful. But I wouldn't, Sam, because you're a cute chick and you're on this gig with us, had you been eating healthy, I swear to God, I would have just been ordering sparkling water and I would have been like, oh,
salads, plus shit.
Eating like a fucking slob. So then I got inspired. And what are they called? The beaver nuggets?
Beaver nuggets.
Yeah, the Bucky's nugs.
I fucking saw, you're Sam staying in a hotel room with her friend Candace, and they took the beaver nuggets, and I'm just fucking drunk and stoned last night, and I got beef jerky in my room.
Mm-hmm.
So I texted them, I was like, yo, I'll trade you the beef jerky for the beaver nuggets. And then you brought me a full cup of beaver nuggets.
I've been using those coffee cups for everything except coffee.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like, first of all, you didn't buy the beaver nuggets. The fact that she's so stingy with it, she comes with a coffee cup with it. Where the beaver nuggets with you all bags.
Killed me today if I gave you a bag.
You're right. I'm actually happy
that bag
because I would have eaten the whole bag.
Yeah.
I was so high
last night,
drunk,
bag
and I was just fucking just I ate every beaver nugget in that bag. Then I got fucking M&Ms. Then I got M&Ms on top of all of
them. Damn, bro. It was a you went crazy.
I went fucking crazy last night.
You went crazy.
See, if we just ended up going out after the shows last night, we all would have been too drunk to eat.
We're
I would have thrown up.
We're all men. We're all men. Sam's trying to go out and party after the shows. This is what a 26-year-old girl does. You want to like get drunk every night to the point where you can't do it anymore. I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally in bed. I go as soon as the show's over, we go back to the hotel. I'm done. I can't do it anymore.
And I'm still like partially recovering from Austin. I don't think I got all my mojo back from all
that. That's why I slept until noon today.
Yeah. See, I should have did that. You're right.
I got PTSD from Austin. I got really fucked up.
Yeah, that was nasty.
It's not good, man. Austin was a good time, obviously. Driving out, it was a weird day just driving yesterday. You guys got into a weird thing before you picked me up.
Yeah, with that fucking homeless guy. He was strong as hell, too.
It was that thing at the intersection where they try to, like, wash your windshield, and I try to be polite. I just run my wiper so they don't come touch my car. And the one guy was, like, trying to fuck with us. He's like, still trying to do it.
Right.
I was like, no. He rolled down the window, and he's like, I will beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah, he just threatened him. You went straight.
I said, no, because first I said no. I was like, no. And he was like.
Because you're assuming homeless people are malnourished.
You're assuming.
You're assuming that they.
He was outside with his shirt all jacked.
I know. I have balls.
He was jacked, but he had like loose skin on his.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But also, I can't. Like, I can't wrap my... I was like, there's no way they're that good at fighting. They're homeless.
Yeah, I'd have fucked them up. My hands are fucked up now, but I still would have beat his ass and just fucked my hands up more.
Yeah.
But also, he's homeless, and I'm like, I probably get AIDS if I fuck
That's him. How you get AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only
I already got open wounds on my hands. I hit them. Now,
by the way, there's a new AIDS... there's a new PrEP that, like, prevents AIDS altogether. It's like 100% efficacy.
So if you say so,
fun. I just said that word properly.
Efficacy. Efficacy, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So AIDS is done.
Damn. So AIDS is cured.
AIDS is fucking cured. Well, it's not cured.
It's a vaccine for it.
No so new AIDS. It's AIDS vaccine, mm-hmm. But I think it's only for women who never get AIDS. I think it's just for women. It's for it's for those gay guys. Or that have wives, but they're fucking dudes on the side. They're like, you know what? You need to take this. It's for those poor bitches. And those are out there, 100%.
Oh, it's a lot of those out there.
For sure.
Damn, that's fucked.
So are young people afraid of AIDS?
I haven't thought about it.
You've never thought about AIDS. There's never been a thing in your life. Because for us, I know for a fact, and I mean, you're also, you're black, because that's a, it's a different thing, man.
But but this is the thing. I never knew anybody that had AIDS.
Never?
Never, bro.
Wow.
And I remember when I was in school, they showed this movie called Kids.
Yeah. They showed it in school?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, bro.
Philly is wild.
Ninth grade.
Philly is wild to show kids in school. That's not like an educated, it's a Harmony Korine movie. You seen Kids? It is like a fucked up movie.
That's a fucked up movie.
Chunkable rape scene.
Yeah.
Chunkable rape scene and the thing it is.
And they show titties.
They show titties. What did you say?
I said, all right, I'm sold.
Okay, so there is. And in the rape scene, it's the end of the movie. It's Casper. He climbs on top of Jenny. Oh, all right, I'll give you the whole premise of the movie real quick. And I don't mean to interject, but I just want to give her the
listen, you this movie. Case. You wouldn't understand what I was saying if you don't break down.
It's a Harmony Korine movie. It's a fucked up movie. They had a bunch of real, like, they weren't, a bunch of, like, young actors that were unknown. So, but they did have some known ones, too.
What's his name?
The fucking Spanish
bitch. Spanish bitch, yeah, fucking.
Oh, come on, bro.
Big Lips, fucking.
She played Mimi in the movie version of Rent. I'm not gay.
Stop. You had to sit down.
I was never worried about AIDS.
Come on,
guys. Crazy.
Alice, you were laughing. I'm going to be honest, sorry. You're not going to hold it in. Alice is cracking up at you.
Right.
Dougie, who the fuck was she? Come on, bro.
I'm looking it up.
Come on, look it up. Come on. Mimi, movie version. Oh, she's very famous. She's pretty hot. She's old at this point, but she's pretty hot. A lot of guys like her. She was Dave Temple's top girl when we did Top Girl on the show. That's like his number one bitch. Yeah.
I can see that. She's hot.
Back in the day, she was hot. And she was particularly hot in this movie when we were kids. Yeah, she was a dirty bitch. She's talking about taking it in the ass.
Yep.
Which one of these three?
Rosario Dawson. There we go. And then the other bitch was in it. Or just pull up the cast of Kids.
Yeah.
The other chick got famous too. It's Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah.
There she is. Chloe Sevigny. So Chloe said, all right, so the whole movie, it starts off with like this kid. He's like, this should be like 15 or 16 years old.
15, 16, how
this movie. Kid is fucking this girl. He's just like fucking her, right? And then he goes out and meets this boy and he's like, oh, you fucking that bitch? He's like, yo, butterscotch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, smell it. That's like the beginning of the movie. That's just fucking fire. We loved it, right?
Yeah.
So then they go to Chloe Sevigny and fucking Rosario Dawson and they're getting an STD test at like the clinic, like the free clinic. They're all just kids, right? They're at this like place. And then they're asking them all these questions, right? Turns out Chloe Sevigny's character has AIDS.
Mm.
She has been with one partner
in person.
The guy who was fucking the bitch in the first scene.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is just slinging dick all over New York. The whole movie is just him infecting girls with AIDS.
Yeah, he's just fucking girl.
Just fucking infecting
the hottest girl.
Look at the hottest.
And you're like, what happens? You get AIDS? That's just rolling me. I was so scared.
I thought at least we were
hot. This movie fucked us up as kids. We were like, we were out there like, and when you realize now, when you know about AIDS, is that no, you probably give none of these bitches AIDS.
Right.
Because the reality is it's very difficult to have heterosexual sex to get AIDS. That's like a 1 in 500 chance. Thank you, Penn and Teller's bullshit on HBO, which gave me that fucking fact.
Nice.
That fucking, I was like, let's go.
Yeah, I like
that. Let's party.
Everybody didn't know that when I was a kid.
So the whole movie is her trying to find Telly, right? It's Telly and Casper. Telly's the guy who's got AIDS. Casper's his boy. They're just going around all New York City, different parties, just fucking bitches, doing their thing. Chloe Sevigny's character is trying to find Casper all throughout. We're trying to find Telly throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up not being able to tell him.
Yeah.
The movie ends with her getting fucked up on drugs at a party. Casper, Telly's boy, date rapes her on the couch, infects himself with AIDS, and a big old twist of irony, even though none of them probably got AIDS.
Yep.
The reality is none of them actually got AIDS.
Yeah.
But that was the whole big thing at the end. He's like, no, don't worry, it's Casper. And then he pulls her panties down.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, no, Casper. No, and that is the jerkable rape scene. Not only is it jerkable, it's not jerkable, but he's getting AIDS in it, and I'm still like, right?
You feel like that is wild.
That's wild. If you could jerk off to that scene, you have a depravity on another level.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway.
That scene used to make me feel bad.
You remember every detail of that movie front to back, but you thought we were pulling up to Houston.
Andrew, at home, Houston.
We're like, wow, we're in Houston? Dumbass.
I don't pay attention to any of this shit, doggy. I'm telling you, you're walking from the car. I'm just literally letting Sam lead the way. I'm just like looking up. I have no idea where we're going. I have the worst sense of direction. I really don't pay attention to any of that shit. But anyway, so kid, they showed kids in ninth grade.
Yes. And it fucked me up. I was super scared. I was like, what the fuck, yo? You can get AIDS.
That's crazy they showed this movie. Like, the amount of, like, how grimy this movie was to show it to ninth graders is bonkers.
Yeah.
And you're also 6 years younger than me. That came way, like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I watched it probably
in, like, 2001 or some shit like
that. That's crazy.
Was the guy teacher that showed it to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Crawford.
That was, like, our whole perception of AIDS. They told us, man. You health class, eighth grade, they were like, listen, guys.
Yeah, bro.
You probably already have AIDS. Just so you know. And I was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I got an AIDS test, I cried.
I
had sex with my one straight white girlfriend who had only had sex with one other person in her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I went in for an AIDS test and I was like, I have AIDS, yeah. I know it.
Yeah.
Because I jerked off in a porn booth one time and I sat in something wet. And I was like, that's AIDS cum, dude. It seeped through my pants.
Damn.
And I slipped it up into my butthole. That, I swear to God, I convinced myself that I slipped AIDS cum up into my butthole. I said, because I...
throw up.
Yeah,
I'm already so nauseous.
I'm dead ass. I swear to God, that's a real story.
You AIDS ass.
In Spring Valley, New York, there was a place called, it was like, they have them all over the place where it's like, you watch porn on a TV, you put in a dollar, and then this is before internet porn was like, I'm in high school. I'm probably 16 or 17. I'm 16 at the time in high school. And I go in. I got into this place a few times. Another time, they had like a glory, it wasn't a glory hole, it was a slot in between the booths. I didn't realize, I had no idea there was slots in the booths. It was just, they were to put your dick in. So
you made to like hold hands with the guy next to you.
Yeah, his little pinkies. Dude, I'm beating off to porn in this booth, and then I look down. I'm a kid.
Yeah.
And I look down, I just see a guy's mouth with a goatee, and he goes, just imagine you just see this. And he goes, stick it through for a blowjob. It was like, oh, it was so creepy. Fuck, so I did, and here I am, umming. No, I didn't think that would have been fucking, I was creeped out, I like ran out.
Oh, that would have ruined your life if you had done that. No, you'd have been a different guy.
No, but I did another time, I went into the same booth, and I sat down, and it was wet, and I was just like, this is it, dude. This is how we get AIDS.
Yeah. Fuck, bruh.
Yeah.
One time, my nuts was just itching a lot, and I was like, I know I got AIDS. My
that
nuts
was it?
Itching.
That was it.
I was just like, fuck. I was a kid. I think it was just hair was growing.
Yeah.
I don't think I had fucked yet. I don't think I was fucking yet. And I was like, dude, I got AIDS.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell?
It's a scary fucking world, doggy. Just being from our generation.
But they scared us with everything.
They scared us. You don't have to worry about any of this shit.
No. I used to be scared to get struck by lightning. Because my mom used to watch Oprah and she had this guy on there. And he got struck by lightning. And the lightning hit his belt buckle and melted his dick off.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I'd rather die.
Same. Same. Just kill me.
You know, just being dickless. Like, I mean, I guess I wouldn't because I have a kid. But then I got to look at him and be like, your dad's dickless.
But man, I'm gonna respect. Man, how much that hurts? The lightning hit your belt buckle, melted the metal, and then that melted your dick off. That's probably the worst pain ever.
Well, that's what you hear about, like
out like immediate.
True, yeah.
Because you got bit by a dog recently.
I did. My hands off.
Sometimes dogs will fucking bite your dick and balls off.
Oh, that would have been crazy.
Imagine you got your dog. You think about that, man.
Bro, I'd have been
if you bit your dick and balls.
I'd have killed myself. I'd have killed myself. I would have overshot myself.
I would have killed myself with the dog's skull because I would have first decapitated the dog.
Yes.
And then I would have fucking started smashing my own head with the dog's teeth until I died. And that would be the end of me.
What, yo?
That weak, dickless? Awful. Oh,
no. Dude. That's the worst thing.
Dude, oh my God.
It's a great time.
I mean, I guess you get a sex change, right? Why? By the way, have you considered that? Would you kill yourself? Would you get a sex change?
Nah,
because you can live your life. You can live your life.
Just first of all, a lady.
And first of all, you get a lot of success. Do Naeem Ali becomes a fucking trans?
I would. I think I would. I'd be an ugly ass bitch, but
you would. Dude, you ain't gonna shave your beard.
Fuck that. I keep it a beard. I'm gonna get face tats. I'm gonna just confuse the world.
Yeah, that's what would be the move. You would just have to become trans. I wonder how often that happens, where people get mangled and then they
just, angled.
This happens for a little. I hear this happens as like kids, right? So I've heard like they'll have botched circumcision.
Yep.
They fuck the dick.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when I shave my mustache and I take too much on that side, then I go to this side, then this side.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I got a Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
Is that what happens? Is they just keep on snipping until they go, well, now we got to fucking.
Now we got to make him a girl.
Yeah, now we got to turn him to a little Eva Braun.
Nah, bro, that's fucked up.
Would you rather have a mangled dick for your kid or raise him as, you know, never go through puberty if the want?
You got to make him a girl. You have to.
Make him a girl.
Yeah. That sucks, but you have to. Because you could. They could cope with having a weird pussy. You see what I'm saying?
It's a weird in general.
Pussies. Yeah.
Pussies, the amount of, I mean, I'm sure at dicks, too, there's a huge.
It's probably weird dicks out there.
But in terms of, like, aren't dicks, for the most part.
I think it's all, yeah. I think
same shape and one same of them shape. I get there's a big size difference. But I'm saying, for the most part, it's the same shape.
Yeah.
Pussies are fucking, they're all different. Sometimes they're completely tucked in. They don't look like it. A little slit.
Yes.
What's that?
That's crazy.
It's that cute little thing right there.
Yep.
Sometimes
a bunch of shit hanging out.
Yeah, they bring long tentacly shit.
And you're like, what the fuck is this?
I was with a bitch with a tentacle pussy. This shit.
Yeah, I seen one.
Doggy, no. This shit was wild. Like, I'm talking about, like, you don't even know, like literally, like long string out of her pussy. It was
flaps.
The nastiest thing ever. And they have surgeries for that shit. You can get rid of it.
Yeah.
I hope she's listening.
If,
ladies, if you have a tentacle pussy.
Yeah, just get surgery.
Change it. There's no guy that likes it.
Yeah.
No guy's like, you know what? That's the type of pussy.
Yeah, if he said it, he was lying.
Lying to you.
That's not true.
Dude, I went down on her, and they got caught in my gums. Like, I pulled them out like hair. I pulled them out like hair got caught in my throat. Like,
oh, ew, bro.
Just go down there with some scissors. She won't notice.
Yeah, I just get open. I'm sorry, I had to do it. I'm sorry.
Stuck in my braces. Hold on.
That's fucking. That is wild. And I've only encountered that one time in my entire life.
Yeah, I see two different girls with that
tentacle pussy.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, because after the first time I saw it, I was like, I hope I never run into this again.
No, it was really bad.
Then the second time, you're like, I'm gonna kill myself.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna do now.
Are they conspiring against me?
No, I mean, that's trying to be that.
That's the only type of pussy that I'll say that's like not good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was with a chick that had a really big clit one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like a really, really, like,
yeah,
massive.
Never before.
To the point where you're like, okay, bitch.
Yeah.
Calm it down. Fix it. Shave it down. We'll do what we got to do.
Yeah.
It was
I've
like,
seen that.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was like.
Yeah, almost like a little dick. Yeah. It's like a
it
little.
It was sucking out like
a cum. I seen like the little, it looks like a small penis.
Okay, let's take a quick moment and thank Factor Meals for supporting today's show. We love Factor Meals. They are America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, and they make fueling up this summer nice and easy when they ship you amazing restaurant-quality meals right to your door. They're never frozen. They're super fresh, and we're talking about genuinely restaurant-quality. You prepare them in just 2 minutes. It's cheaper than getting takeout. It's easier than cooking at home for yourself. What is there not to love about Factor Meals?
That's right. You can treat yourself to over 34 weekly restaurant-quality options like Bruschetta Shrimp Risotto, Green Goddess Chicken, and Grilled Steakhouse Filet Mignon, like Lewis said, already in just 2 minutes. They have breakfast. They have lunch. They have snacks. And no matter what your dietary restrictions are, calorie conscious, vegan, keto, they have got you covered.
All you
got
to do right now is go to factormeals.com/wrap50 and use the promo code RAP50, wrap50, to save 50% off your order today. Once again, that's factormeals.com/wrap50 for 50% off. All right, where were we?
You know what I found out?
Damn.
Those clits do not have more nerve endings.
They don't.
They
the
don't,
big ones, though?
They don't have more nerve. It's not better for her. It does nothing for her. The nerve endings is just more spread out. The smaller the clit, actually, the more concentrated the nerve endings.
What? That's crazy.
This is how much this bitch affected me. I did science on it. I was like, I can't.
You would let, well,
I thought about it afterwards. I was like, that's crazy.
A hermaphrodite. A hermaphrodite. Well, I'm doing it. I'll plug a hermaphrodite then.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, but that wasn't like, the other one was like, unfucking, I couldn't go back.
No, yeah, no. A big clit, whatever.
A big clit.
But the fucking hang.
You just feel it push it into you. You're like,
right.
What's the weirdest dick you've ever seen, Sam?
I've only seen three, so.
Okay. Okay, Sam. Usually she's passed out.
I close my eyes and ask God for forgiveness.
Yeah, dicks are just fucking, you know.
I feel like I am very lucky. I have very few run-ins with weird penises.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're normal. Yeah, dicks are just fucking.
Plus, you got a lot of different things, so that's why they can look weird. There's more possibility for something to be wrong with.
There's like, it almost feels like God just had a concept for a pussy, and he just said, I'm lost. Like, just whatever. It's all wild down there, doggy. You feel inside of it. You're like, you figure like you fucking whatever. I don't know.
Bunch of cats.
What is that? There's a bone back there. There's like that's kind of pointing at you.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? What is that? Is that your spine? What is that? The end of your spine? What am I fucking feeling? It's pointing back at my finger, and it's almost like they when you're touching the finger of God, that's what it is. You're touching the finger of God that lives inside of every woman's pussy.
Yeah, I don't know what that thing
that's
is.
That's what I think. Maybe.
It's our shelf for our keys. That's where I hang them up when I get home so I don't lose them.
It's wild. Some of them are fucking a little bit closer to the front. Some of them
curved in different directions. It's like they tunnel curved that way.
Patrice talked about, it was such a funny way to describe it, talking about the if you put your finger in a girl's pussy and then put her thumb in her asshole, you can feel how thin the skin is between the pussy and the asshole.
That is
like, he's like, it's just like tin foil thin. You can just spare. He said you can snap inside of her. That's a fucking funny way to say you can snap inside of her.
Crazy, yo.
Oh, fuck, man.
Who said that?
Patrice.
Damn.
Patrice, the goat.
That's great. That's fucking
literally
great.
The greatest of all time, Patrice O'Neill. Fuck. Let's do plugs real quick. I'm having fun right now. This Dallas show. We're just at Dallas, Texas. Dallas. Obviously, that's where we are.
Definitely not Houston.
Don't be an asshole. Sam Mini, what are you plugging? Let the boys know where to find you. And it's mostly boys. I don't mean to say it in a sexist way. People started following you after the last show, right? Mm-hmm. Couple creeps. How many weird DMs did you get?
Not very many. Way less than I was expecting.
Damn, guys.
Memorable one.
Pick it up.
I did get, like, maybe, I stopped keeping track, almost $100 in Venmos.
Here we go. Yeah. We'll put your Venmo on the screen again.
Sam-Mini on Venmo. Send me money.
Hell yeah. She does. These guys will just send hot bitches money.
They do.
It's a wild fucking thing. I kind of get it. Cause I like if I take a bitch to dinner, like I feel like the man. It kind of turns me on a little bit. I would take my ex shopping, and I would be like, "Yo, like it kind of turned me on to like fucking." She's buying a nice outfit. She likes it, you know. Like there's something about that dynamic which I understand, but that's like a super concentrated version of that dynamic.
Yes,
where you're not fucking her, you're not, you know, you're not reaping the actual benefits of purchasing it. Yeah. So. It almost, if I wasn't going to get the fucker at the end of it, it wouldn't turn me on. I would feel like, here's sucker.
I think the psychology behind that is the more money they send you, the better chance they have of actually maybe you going on a date with them. So send more money.
Yeah.
Believe your delusion, bro. Send more money. And then she's going to see him and be like, didn't you send me $1,000? Let's go out. That's going to happen.
Is there a guy that could a guy send you money like a simp? Like this, and you still break through and somehow convince you to go out with him.
Absolutely not.
It's impossible. There's no, it's such a sad thing.
The best penis in the world. If he was in shape,
rich,
if he had hobbies. Like,
what a loser.
You're gay.
But they like that. Now a couple guys are being like, oh, I'm gay. That's the point.
That the Venmo message was like, Lewis thinks I'm a loser.
Yeah, and I do, sir. You send these fucking bitches money, you're a fucking loser.
My thing though is the more money someone sends me, the more I'm like, oh, they can afford to fly out, find me, and kill me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Some kind of scary and dangerous about it. Man, ooh, I like it. Hey, now I'm getting turned on. So anyway, Sam, what are you plugging?
My Instagram is Sam_Mini, and then the Good Sam Bad Sam podcast.
Hell yeah.
Brand new baby podcast.
Love it. Naeem Ali.
Naeem_Ali on Instagram. Durag and the Deer Tag podcast. AO Actually podcast. check me out. We had somebody, we had some hot lady on our podcast, and they paid her rent. Our fans
did that.
They paid her rent
on the last one I did with him.
Yeah, they paid your rent.
No, with Allie.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, these guys, they never paid my rent before.
My rent is $4,000, by the way.
sorry, now you have anything else?
Nah, that's it.
Hell yeah. Live dates coming up. Go to lewisofskanks.com. That's the website, lewisofskanks.com. Next weekend, I am going to be in Pittsburgh at the Pittsburgh Improv Thursday night. This is all with Scott Chaplin. Then I'm going to be at Cleveland Hilarities on Friday and Saturday. Going to be a blast. Howlin' Wolf, New Orleans, coming up July 26th. Lafayette, Louisiana, coming up on July 27th. Love Club 337. Going to be a blast. Those shows are going to be amazing. And then August, I got Governors on Long Island. I'm doing some shows with Shane as well at the Mohegan Sun. Tacoma Comedy Club, finally going back to that area after being canceled for my Seattle gigs. Tacoma, Spokane, Janesville, Wisconsin, Atlanta, Georgia, Toronto. This is all on the website right now. Houston, Sacramento, Portland, Boston, New Britain, Connecticut, Baltimore, Maryland. This is all happening. This is all happening before October. And lots more dates. D.C., Casper, Wyoming, and many more. lewisofskanks.com. If you guys love the show, subscribe to the new Gas Digital apps for both iPhone and Android. The casting option we're announcing, I believe, maybe even today with the date that that's going to be launched. So we're pre-taping this over the weekend. So shout out to, fucking our entire team who's been putting that together right now. And if you guys love the show, we do a bonus episode every Friday just for subscribers. So if you do subscribe to GasDigital.com, you get a bonus episode of this show. Legion of Skanks, there's a lot of bonus episodes for all of the shows here. There's over 1,000 episodes that are available on demand, ad-free, and uncensored, all in one place. Plus, you get access to the Racist Live Chat and many other member benefits. Use the promo code RAP, get a 7-day free trial. Use the promo code RAP, save $1.50 a month on your membership. And you get that warm, fuzzy feeling that you're helping out the Real Ass Podcast. Check out The Regs, check out Legion of Skanks, check out both of my specials available on YouTube. And that's all I got to plug.
Nice.
It was a lot.
So we've only made it through the first 5 minutes of the trip here, by the way, in this story with you fighting.
Oh, yeah. Almost done.
Oh, yeah, that's
a good podcast. That's
went off on like 10 minutes.
That's a fucking podcast.
Yeah, but I wanted to get to the part where you threw a fucking full coffee on the car at a gas station.
I did. So what happened? You were in the car.
Okay. So I yelled no out the window because where we're from, well, at least in Philly, I don't know about New York, but I never see it in New York either. People don't just walk up and start washing your window.
Like, don't do it in New York. Under the bridge, when as a kid, they would do it like you'd be under an overpass, like about to get on the West Side Highway, and there'd be a homeless guy, and they would squeegee your window.
He doesn't ask. He just walks up and starts,
But everyone, nobody, this is back at a time when you didn't have fucking...
Okay, so you might
spray your shit for yourself.
Okay,
a lot of people need it. I think back in the day, it was actually kind of convenient.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I thought it was something that like people would be like, "All right, well, I could use a little window wash." Remember at gas stations, people used to squeegee their windows. That was at every gas station. I just feel like it's just not as necessary anymore.
Yeah. So he walks up. I yell no out the window. He says, "Shut up! You on the back seat." And then I said,
"So he first of all,
he told me to shut up.
He fucking." Destroyed you. He was like, "Shut up, bro! You're in the back seat. He came in the car, pussy."
I was honestly embarrassed. I was so when he said it, I was like, "Damn!" I was like, "Nigga, you right? I should have said up. I look in the back seat. The fuck am I talking about?"
He's "Bitch, why are you in the back seat? So why are you opening your fucking mouth? You got nothing to say anywhere."
Host a roast battle with just homeless people.
Dude, it was wild. That guy was diabolical.
Yes. He said, "Shut up, you all in the back seat." I said, "Hey, they getting
backseat, bitch."
Yeah, what the fuck? I said, "What? Ah, knock you the fuck out." He said, "Well, they get out."
And that's why you got so big, because you were embarrassed.
Yes.
But you're not that embarrassed, you would have just laughed it off.
There's nothing else you could do, but when I'm that embarrassed, I have to say I'm going to fight you.
Then. Yeah.
There's nothing else I can say.
So you say, "I'll knock you the fuck out."
Yeah, I said, "I'll knock you the fuck out." He said, "All right, well, get out." He said, "Get out there." And then his homie walked up. And I'm like, "Nah, I'm not getting out." Yeah, I said this once. "I'm not getting out. No." I said, "No, I'm not getting out."
So no, it was the world's longest light.
Oh, no.
And we just sit there.
I mean, still jawing at each other? Yeah. Looking,
he's still talking shit. I was calling him a bitch. I'm like, "All right, you bitch ass nigga." He's like, "Get out the car." And I'm like, "No." Now I get out the car.
I was like, 30% chance you win this fight, 70% chance they beat the shit out of you with squeegees.
Yeah. It will fuck me with the
best
squeegees.
Case scenario is you maybe, you know, maybe get a couple good hits in on a homeless person.
Guy.
That's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, cops roll up, you're arrested. You get fucked up. You break your hand. These guys fuck you up. The trajectory of getting out of the car, like you talk about, like the multiverse.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like where it could go. It's not going with you ending up with $1 million in your pocket. It's not going to be you furthering your career or strengthening your relationship with your son.
Yeah,
it is. You're going off on this trajectory where it's like, bro, stay in the car.
Yes,
stay in the car. There's so many cool paths happening that way.
Yes.
It's wild.
Yeah.
That same intersection, like a month ago, there was a huge like brawl in the middle of it between homeless people and maybe regular people, but someone was beating the shit out of someone with a crutch.
Damn. See? Yeah,
you gotta
avoid that type of shit, bro.
I don't get into street fights anymore. I mean, I don't even really threaten it anymore. We talked about this a little bit. It's like ever since I started training, I started realizing what a pussy I am. I know what real tough people look like.
Yeah.
I know exactly what people can do. I know what just dudes, normal dudes that look like a little fucking fat Mexican kid, like, dude, he's fucking, can just put it fucking on me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, who the fuck am I?
Yeah.
It's not that I'm even afraid. I just feel like
the eye test doesn't work. There's no such thing as that. You can't look at somebody and be like, oh, he can't fight. You don't know.
I don't know anybody. It's so funny. You're like, to blindly, with the exception of, like, elite-level fighters. Mm-hmm. Elite level, you know what I'm saying? Like guys who really fucking know what's up, to blindly look at another man and go, "I can fuck him up,"
yeah,
just blindly,
nuts,
without seeing anything, just
that's
seeing him
nuts.
Like Ellis. I don't know you. You look like a bitch. I was like, yo, I could kill Ellis. I'm dead ass. I'll fucking annihilate Ellis. But you literally could be a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt. Mm-hmm. You could be doing Muay Thai since you were 7 years old.
Yeah,
you're gonna say you're not because that'd be a smart move mm-hmm. to tell me,
right?
But I'm telling you, genuinely don't know until they're in a stance.
Mm-hmm. You're like, damn, he know what he's doing.
Fuck, dude. You can see their ears. I got a cauliflower ear.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I try to show it. If some guys are talking shit, I'm like, wait, what are you?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yo,
check that out.
Yo, bro, you're not even worth it.
Yeah, right. Check that out. Yeah, like almost every fight I've been in, somebody hit me first. Because I just talk. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't want to just hit somebody and, all right, I knock you the fuck out. You hit your head on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm going to jail. You see what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro.
And I am so afraid that he'll murder a man with his bare hands that he won't even engage.
No. I just know.
Every black person I've ever met.
Here's the thing. Usually the person that swings first, even if you don't really know how to fight, if you throw a good punch first, 9 out of 10, you're going to win the fight in a street fight.
Yeah.
You throw that, if that first punch connects, you probably gonna win that fight, bro.
Yeah, maybe.
You probably gonna win that fight.
Maybe.
I think your chances of winning that fight go up by like 70.
I grew up, I was raised, it was just the way we were raised. And actually, I wasn't even raised this way. It was just some like, whatever it was, I was like, you know what? I'll never throw the first punch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a stupid way to fucking.
Yeah, that's dumb.
That's the dumbest way to be.
Yeah.
If you're gonna fight, if you're willing to fight somebody,
yeah,
you feel like it's gonna go
hit that
there,
motherfucker, bro.
Hit him first. Hit him hard.
And if it's not like one of your friends, because most of your fights growing up is like your homies, like
yeah,
your
sure, yeah, of course. I thought that was one of my friends.
Yeah.
That's between girls and guys. Like you never fist fought your friends. Me and
all of them.
There's not a single friend that I grew up with that we didn't get into a full fledged brawl.
Yes, then we didn't talk for like 3 days.
Yeah,
we fixed it.
Play Street Fighter afterwards.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
whatever, was fucked up.
Yeah, that's just a thing. But now as an adult, I'm not arguing with nobody. So like, if you start yelling in my face and walking towards me, I got to fight. That's a fight.
If
fight already started,
if you enter
that.
Somebody's space. In a threatening manner, like if somebody comes in my face, I'm like, do me a favor, step away from me, and I'll put my hand up like that. If they enter my space there, boom.
Yeah.
That's that.
Yeah.
That's that. You don't need to ask any other questions. But for the most part, people, I'm a big guy, so, you know what I'm saying? Like, most people don't.
You get shoved around.
Most people just don't fuck with me. Mm-hmm. Just in general, they just pick a different battle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, same. People don't really fuck with me. It's a comic in Philly that's bullying other comics and shit like that. He beating people up, man.
Really?
Hell yeah, bro. What the black comics? He on the urban side.
He's beating people up.
Hell yeah, bro. Right. And he's a street. He was in like one of those street fighting DVDs. Like, oh, really? Today. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. And he run around, he fucking threatening people and shit. And every time I see him, I'm like, yo, I never had a problem. Everybody's like, yo, man, you got to watch out. He said this, he did that. I'm like, every time I see him, I'm like, yo, he cool as fuck, bro.
Because that's a bully mentality.
Yeah. I'm like,
you know, people fucking bully, you know. You know, they
I like that we got a bully in the comedy scene.
They pick
like,
and choose. They pick and, how do you feel about bullying with the youth today? Do you think it's necessary?
It is, bro. It may be a better person. I'd have been weird as fuck, bro. You know how, yo, I was a weird kid. I'd have been so weird if people didn't bully me. I'd have been fucking, y'all would have never known me. I'd have been fucking, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it makes you, it just sort of lets you know where you are in the world.
Yeah.
And I think you need hierarchy in order to fucking, for certain people to achieve greatness.
Yeah.
You need them to feel like they're above fucking other people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And sure. I think that like when you have bullying when you're younger, and I'm not saying like fucking people should get bullied, like, but it kind of makes and breaks who you are. Are you the kid who stands up for yourself or are you the kid who gets bullied?
Yeah.
Right? And that it's like that's a type of person in the world. Are you a worker bee? Are you a cog in someone else's wheel? Or are you a leader?
Yeah.
You know, and there's I think all of those little things are sort of tests in life.
Yeah.
That's why women, you guys, you don't have any range. Well, you should never be CEOs or in charge of anything because you don't deal with the same shit we fucking deal with. We have to deal with such adversity.
Social bullying. They have cliques and.
The only time I ever almost got like beat up in high school was me standing up for my one friend. She was getting cyberbullied online.
She getting cyberbullied.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that she went to a different high school. But like the girls in my school are the ones doing it, and I've been like. This build my entire life. Yeah. And I went up to this one girl.
Hold on. What do you think this build is? You think, was that, do you think you're jacked and intimidating? Is that
what? Well, I mean, like, I should have probably just, like, not said a word. But
Okay. I see. I thought I misunderstood. I thought she was saying, she was like, I'm ready to go.
No.
No, you were a skinny little bitch.
Yeah, no, I was like,
okay.
I was like 90 pounds.
Okay, nice.
And,
toy, pretty toy. Go ahead.
But yeah, this big dumb bitch that was being mean to my friend online.
Was she white?
No.
Oh no.
Oh, she was a black girl.
A black girl? Oh, you're fucking
crazy.
You crazy? Is that fucking nuts?
No, dude.
My sister, there was this chick that my buddy Lee. He was my buddy. We once got a kid who we got in a lot of fights with. Lived next door to me, and my sister got into a thing with him, and she like smacked him right. And his cousin, this big black bitch.
Yeah.
Was like, she was like, you smack my cousin, I'll fuck you up, bitch. And my sister was like, yo, let's fuck no. My sister was ready to go fight this bitch. And I literally held my sister back. I was like, you have no idea what's coming to you.
Yes.
No. This black bitch is going to annihilate you.
Yes.
She's going to fucking ragdoll you. She's going to be dragged across the street and you're just smacking your head into the floor.
Yes.
Do not go outside. I did not.
Your life.
So good. What happened?
So I'm so naive. I'm just a little.
No, naive.
No, she was.
Right.
So I believe I messaged her like the night before, like morning of before I went into school, being like, hey, can we talk at school today? I didn't realize basically what I was saying was like setting up the fight.
That's fine. Yeah.
And so I.
Yeah, she read it. She was like, can we talk? Yeah, we can talk.
We can talk.
Meanwhile, I'm just like. And so I get there and I catch her in the hallway before like our first class. And I was like, hey, could you stop being mean to my friend online?
Nice.
And she just looked at me like she couldn't comprehend that I was actually genuinely trying to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And then she just kind of walked away. Did not see her until the last class of the day, the only class we had together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting at my desk and she just comes storming in. Flips my desk. Like, there's a crowd now, so she's...
Oh, no, she got all of her people. Everyone's got cell phones out. Oh, no.
Flips the desk. I'm sitting there, deskless. Just full of clothes.
Oh, no. Yeah, that is vulnerable. When you're sitting in a little school chair with the desk.
Yeah, your desk.
Vulnerable.
And they take that shit away. I'm like, oh God, I'm dead. But the teacher like ran in and was like, what the fuck are you doing? Go to the office. And that's just how it ended. And right. That was that.
And they never said anything. Did they bully the girl again?
I don't remember. Probably. But
they kept
forced. They did. They might bully them worse. Yeah.
Yeah, you made that you way worse.
Yeah, but at least I could be like, yeah, I risked my life for her.
You did.
That is, though, but honestly, good for you. That is
honorable.
That's honorable as fuck.
Friend.
I remember one time my friend John Hickey.
Mm.
We were in like the ninth grade, and these like 11th or 12th graders, Puerto Rican kids, they were like fucking with us. You know what I'm saying? But they were really fucking with him because he was kind of a nerdy kid.
Yeah.
You know? And they were like, there was like two or three of them. They were just like big fucking kids, dude. And they were like really being intimidating. And they were like, yo, like to him, they're like, get on your knees and beg us not to beat your ass. Yeah, there was three of them.
Damn.
I remember. Right. And I remember because I would always stand up for my friends. John Hickey looked at me and it was like, Lewis. And I go, dude, just get down.
No. Dude, didn't want to get through. I can't protect you now.
It's not going to end well for us. I'm standing in the 11th grade. What are we going to do? Just get on your knees, John.
You have to. Waiting for us. Just get on your knees.
Fuck me, dude.
Nah, bro, that's smart shit.
Yeah, you gotta live to fight another day. Some
yes,
you know.
Well, that's it.
You know, I got a kid now too. That's the other thing I think about all the time, is like if my kid's around, if some shit went down, like how you handle that. Have you had an altercation in front of your son?
Yeah. My son seen me fight one time.
Oh, I think you told me about this. What happened against
it? It was my cousin's baby dad. He had took their daughter, and he was supposed to bring her back at a certain time, but had her way too long. Then when he brought her back, they was arguing. And he was in the passenger seat of the car. My cousin walked up to the car, and he swung the door open and hit her with the door.
Yeah.
So, like, she's, like, holding her nose and shit. She's bleeding. And I walk up, like,
oh, she already hit her like that.
He hit her hard and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, he, like, swung the door and, like, hit her in the face. And I'm like, hey, what the fuck you doing? And then he jumped in my face, and I hit him. And then I knocked him down. I knocked him out. I knocked him down. And then, but he fell like on his stomach. So then I came behind him and I was
choking
him, right?
Fucking
and
him.
I started joking. But I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't know how to choke people.
Yeah.
So I'm choking him and he was like, it's not in. Like, he was like what? It's fucking in. He's like, it's not in. I said, shut up, pussy, you going to sleep. And I kept going, hey, you want to hear? I'm going to have to play with that. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, bro.
You go to sleep. He's like, I can still breathe.
Yeah, he's talking to me.
So you know, I can breathe pretty well.
I could actually breathe better.
Feel good.
Feels great. Thank you. You cleared my throat. Like, I'm like, damn.
That's how old was your son?
Probably like maybe 11 or 12. Yeah.
I had
he
one.
Was crying.
Yeah.
He gets
upset, of course.
It was like him and like all my nieces and nephews and shit, and they were all just crying.
Of course. It's a scary thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a quick moment and thank YoKratom.com for supporting today's show. YoKratom, home of the $60 kilo. I'll tell you right now, they are the marquee sponsors for Skankfest. Shout out to YoKratom for making everything possible here at the Gas Digital Network. And if you are in the market for Kratom, over 21 years old, why not get it from the best possible source for Kratom?
Stop going to bodegas, smoke shops, or gas stations and get a little bit of Kratom at a time when you go to YoKratom.com. They have the best strains, the best customer service, and guys, they support everything we do here at the network.
No promo code needed. It's home of the $60 kilo, YoKratom.com. All right, where were we?
I only had one time where I almost got into it. I mean, there's been a couple times, I guess, where I almost got into, you know, but not really. Not where I was like going to get violent,
yeah.
But it was all about how this guy reacted.
Mm.
It was when we went to, I think, Costa Rica. Was it just last year?
Mm.
It must have been Costa Rica, yeah. We did our father-son trip, and there was a guy, we were like on a nature tour,
mm.
And there was like an older guy. He looked like a real creep.
Yeah.
He's had a fucking pedo vibe. I don't know what you want me to say. Mm. Dougie, every time you watch one of these pedo hunter videos, every guy that they catch looks like a pedophile.
Yes, they do. Each and every single one. I'm never surprised.
It's just always whatever. It's never surprising,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy just had a fucking kind of a pedo-y vibe, right? He had his wife with him and his daughter with him. And his daughter just looked like she's been molested her whole life by this guy. She had that energy, like a timid energy. And the wife just seemed like she was complacent, like she knew.
Mm-hmm.
That was the vibe I got from this whole family.
Yeah.
Even before some shit happened, right?
Yeah.
But my son was just in front of him, and he didn't realize I was watching, right? I always got my eyes on my mm-hmm. son. And he had like a Canon camera, you know, like a real camera, not like a point and shoot, but like a, you know, a DSLR or whatever. Mm-hmm. So my son was, I guess, just like in front of him, kind of like, you know, being a kid, not really like walking fast or whatever. And he took the end of the camera and he jammed it into my son to like move.
What?
And my son went, ooh, like that. I watched it. It wasn't a debate. It wasn't me, like, being protective. It wasn't me. Dude, I was like, I mean, dude, just fucking immediately
bro.
In his face. I mean, dude, he was fucking literally shitting a brick. I almost fucked this guy up. If he had made even any attempt at aggression, if he hadn't turned into a scared kitten, like, this guy was going to get fucking annihilated because you don't fucking put your hands on my kid. That was, that was insane.
Crazy shit.
And then his wife said something. I was like, shut the fuck up, bitch.
Yeah.
I was like, you're marrying the guy who put his fucking hands on a kid?
Right.
You out of your fucking mind? They shut the fuck up.
Right, but imagine what he's doing to hit. Like, if he did that,
it was strange. It was such a weird, bizarre, like, little,
that's
like,
fucking crazy.
I'm going to fucking...
That's evil. Almost,
he's
evil.
You a kid because I think I can.
Yeah,
this fucking moment. Oh, I'm thinking I should have fucked him up. As I'm thinking about it, I would have probably gotten arrested in Costa Rica.
Yeah, nah, yeah, you don't want that. You handled it the way you should.
No, I handled it the way I had to, but, like, it was fucking...
Damn, bro.
Like, that was the closest I've ever been to, like, actually following. I turned... Because I get very ghetto when I'm mad. Like, it turns into, like I talk like how I talk now, but when I'm, like, mad, I turn into, like, just back when I was 12 years old. I grew up in amongst, you know, just all Puerto Rican and black kids in poverty.
Yeah, that shit come right
back. So it just comes right back, yeah.
Right, that's the best way to,
I think I called him Papa. Yeah. I was like, you want to die, Papa?
You just get a Puerto Rican accent.
It gets really crazy. I get wild. Are you wild?
Speaking Spanish and shit, you don't even know how to speak Spanish.
That's not speaking in tongues.
Yeah, dog. It's good to get angry. Sometimes you got to get angry, bro.
Once in a while.
Sometimes you got to just freak out.
You got to flare up every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Let you know you're human.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, it happens to all of us.
Sometimes I freak out over little things just because. I'm not even really that mad. I just...
Well, sometimes I'll start freaking out a little bit, and then I'm like, oh, shit, this is going to be hilarious for the podcast. Then I'll double the freak out.
Yeah, shit like that.
Okay, where's this going to go? Let me just call this guy something.
Yeah. We did a live podcast, and the bartender had brought me a drink, and it was a straw, and everybody knows I don't drink out of straws. So they'd be like, why?
White guy?
Yeah. So,
it's like carrying an umbrella?
Yeah. So she brings me the drink, and this bartender, she's seen me since I started comedy, and we cool as fuck, and she brings me the drink. And there was a straw in there, and I take the fucking straw and I throw it at her. I was like, Karen, what the fuck? Why the fuck would you put a drink with? Then I knocked the drink over. I was freaking the fuck out. They were like, yo.
For no reason.
Yeah. But then when the video came out, all the comments was like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with Naeem?
That's hilarious.
Is he crazy? Well, and it's like, no, that's my homie. Like, me and Karen.
Full curtain pull. Like, I lean into the character so much on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So people do this all the time. Like, I'll post some real shit. I'll just be like, you know, whatever, about whatever, right? And people are like, dude, you fucking freak out on every taxi driver. You fucking... And I was like, no, dude. Like, no, I happen to, when I have a moment that I should be embarrassed about, instead of fucking hiding it like most people do, I bring it to the podcast and I talk about it because I think it's fucking hilarious.
Funny. Yes.
So, but my interactions with fucking Uber drivers, or they say, like, with restaurant employees, everyone's like, you treat every restaurant employee like shit. How the fuck do you then you treat your customers? I'm like, dude, what are you talking about?
I am
a fucking delight to serve. Am I not a delight to serve?
Yeah.
Am I not
a nice guy?
Sam, what is that face about? Sam, if we went yesterday, was I also, not only was I not rude to them, I gave them 10% of their rudeness back, which is an appropriate amount of rudeness to give back to someone. If you're only giving them 10% of their rudeness back, right? What were you going to say?
No, it was fine. I just still feel so bad that I brought you to Buffalo Bros.
No, Buffalo Bros was a nightmare, and I wasn't rude.
I was so excited.
I was stern. I was stern with them because at one point they just kept on fucking up. At one point,
they didn't give a fuck.
I was like, also, she ordered a Coke. You forgot it. And the girl's like, starts walking away. I was like, excuse me. I was like, it's been like that. I was like, can you make sure it comes back right away? And also, I want to order a Diet Coke.
Yeah, you ready to order. And it's just walked away.
And I didn't freak out him. I just was like, I was like, hold on, give me a second. And I give him a little stern, kind of like letting him know that I'm in control of the situation. You're just a waitress. You're not in control here. Let's get fucking real. And then she walked away. And then what happened? I ended up giving them a good tip anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that place was just, like, completely unorganized. We had, like, four servers. It felt like no one could bring a Coke back.
They were just rude. They kept on fucking up. And then they weren't even slightly apologetic about it, which it's like, you know, just fucking, just be like, hey, you know, I'm so sorry. It's busy in the kitchen.
Yes.
We're really trying to make it work here. We're, you know, I'm having a, even just go, hey, I'm just having a fucking day. I'm so sorry. That is all I need. Everyone makes mistakes. That's that. But they didn't do that. And then at the very end, she was kind of polite. And then I felt bad giving them a bad tip. Because the bad tip is a reflection on me. They're going to walk up like, yeah, they were fucking cheap assholes.
The asshole.
Yeah.
But no, they deserve the bad tip.
They did.
They weren't doing their fucking job, bro.
Anyway, my hot dog was great. So
it was.
Happy.
It looked great. You really enjoyed it.
Minus the very stingy pickle spear. That was insane.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was skinny.
Alice, where should we go eat today? We're here in Dallas. Where should we want to eat something good?
The rustic?
It's 134 degrees outside, Alice. Right. Why would I want to be outside? Outdoor eating. Are you out of your fucking mind? This is insanity.
I like being sweaty when I eat.
Yeah.
And y'all got big ass crickets out here. This huge cricket.
Oh, yeah, dude. I saw a cricket, buddy, outside of the hotel smoking a blunt. I saw this cricket. It was walking across the street slowly, and I was like, that's weird. And just hop. Like, just fucking jump. This cricket was so, it was hot. Like, he was like, fuck. And then he walked, and I watched it all happen. I was smoking the blunt, and then he came up, right up to me.
Yeah.
Then he turned on his back and fucking died.
Damn.
Right in front of my eyes. And he sort of like kicking his leg slowly. And I was like, what happened to this poor cricket, dude? And then he just slowly just fucking died. And I was like, wow, dude, I just watched like its final moment. Like, if that was a human being, that would have been like such a crazy thing.
All right, and this is what makes your story crazy, though. There's a restaurant called Yolk around the corner from the hotel. I walked there. And it was a dead bird doing the same shit. Like, he was on his back.
Yeah, Texas sucks.
His was just twitching and shit. And I was on the phone with my ex-wife, and I was like, damn, she's like, what happened? I was like, it's just a bird. I'm like, he's just sitting laying here dying. And she was like, help him. I'm like,
help him.
No, getting CPR. Yeah, what do you want me to do?
Test him about the bird flu.
She was like, he probably choking. I'm like, what? You don't even know.
You probably could have given him some water. Sometimes you'll see that. A bird will be doing that. You could have. I wasn't saving my cricket. It ain't happening, dude.
Yeah.
I think if you would have come over with a little bit of water, it's probably thirsty.
Damn,
you could have probably given us some water and saved that bird's life. Nursed it back to health. You could have done a video on Instagram where you show the bird that it's living with you and your family. Mm-hmm. Then it's, you know, it's an eagle now. You're like, we didn't realize it's an eagle. No, the whole time. It was a bald eagle. You seen it. You thought it was a regular bird. You see those videos on Instagram where it'll be like, the girl's like,
this puppy and it's a coyote.
Yeah, it's not a coyote, it's a wolf the whole time. And now it's like living with like a house cat and shit. It's best friends with a house cat. They're all scams, by the way. Those videos, when you see the comments, they'll be like wildlife people. They're like, that's not the same cat. Like, that's like, that's a different cat. It's got a different this, different paws. Like, fucking, yeah.
I saw one about a squirrel and it said that in the
comments. Yeah, it's a squirrel that they raised. It's not a squirrel.
Like, they cut a tree down and you see the squirrel like jump from the tree. And then the next scene.
There's a squirrel like, it's a dragging
his legs. Like, he's paralyzed. And he's just dragging his legs.
Then the next scene, they're feeding the squirrel on the bottom. They got his legs right out the air. Then the next scene, he's fucking doing the fucking physical therapy.
Yes. They have him on like the underwater treadmill.
Yeah, then he's in the woman's hair. Then he's like playing. He's like, he's whining on a dog. It's fucking. Is that even the same part of the world? This is not. That's a fucking squirrel from
20 different videos. Again.
They're sweet, though. They make you feel good.
They do. I love them.
They make you do. I will say, dude, I like the algorithm that makes me feel good.
See?
Touching.
Yeah.
I got one. One fucking got me. This shit will get you as a father.
Those kind of make me teary.
This one fucking straight up made me teary.
You saw the baseball one when he was congratulating his son after the baseball
game? With the bat where he had Yeah, but it was such a hilarious thing. Like, he didn't even wrap it. He just had the baseball bat in the back of the car. The son's crying because he thought his dad didn't buy him a gift.
Yeah.
And he's like, here, son, I got you a bat. He throws it on the ground.
We did.
And we're like, hey, give him a bat. Yeah. And then he did hit a home run.
Yeah.
He hit a home run.
Great.
It was great. No, it was a feel good story. Though this one, doggy, this one will fucking get you. Father gets a tattoo of his daughter's last drawing before she passed away from cancer.
Bruh.
Doggy. Well, on his thigh, so every time he looks down, that's what he fucking...
That dream looks like shit.
It looks like shit. It's a shitty tattoo. That's the funniest comment on there. That's the funniest comment on there. It's like, if his daughter was sucked at art.
Damn.
I feel like somebody was tattooed myself. It don't look great. They're healed now, though.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You did that yourself?
I did this tooth, and I did this tooth.
Oh, you did the lighter, too? The lighter looks like shit, but it's fun.
They don't look like that.
What?
They don't look like that.
Well, later, though, the tooth is good. Did you do the tooth second?
I did the tooth like 2 months ago, and I did this a month ago.
Oh, you got worse at tattooing?
Yeah, I did that at 1 a.m. like hammered. I was like, yeah, I can probably handle doing like a bigger piece on myself. Yeah. And then halfway through, I'm sitting there crying. My roommates are in line to get tatted by me after. I was like, we're canceling.
Are you good at art?
It's what I went to school for before I started.
Okay, so you were actually an artist.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to be a tattoo artist, and then
did you ever do like an apprenticeship or anything like that? That's how you learn. Like, you just got to fucking work in a shop for a year or two.
I made a portfolio, and then I just bitched out of it.
That's it.
Started doing comedy.
Gave up on the hard work.
Is there a lot of money in it? I guess at the highest level, there probably is a lot of money in tattooing, right? Like, the guys that are fucking, like, unbelievable. But I'm assuming I like the like open micro level of tattooing, it's probably
a lot of hours for not good money.
Yeah, you just shit tattoos for fucking.
Yeah.
I mean, apprenticeships, you don't get paid for it. You pay for that.
Yeah. Damn.
So you're just not making money for like a year.
And you're actually tattooing people?
You're just working at the shop.
You're just learning how to do it. Once in a while, they'll give you a new thing.
Like how to set up stations, like clean up for everyone. You're basically just like an unpaid in. You're paying them, and you're just like,
I mean, look, it's part of anything. Like,
it's part of everything.
You know, there's like, you know,
reefers.
Yeah, you go to school. Like, if you want to fucking, you know, work in corporate America, you have to go to school for 4 to 6 years. If you want to be a lawyer, you got to go to school for 6 to 8 years. Doctor, and you're paying to learn. So there's something about that, you know, for sure. You know, I get it completely.
How long did it take you to get paid doing comedy? Like, how long before you had your first show?
My first paid gig?
Your very first paid gig.
Probably a year or two. It was like $100. I remember it was the Lizard Lounge. Because it was weird though, because I was producing my own show. So I started making money in comedy right away. I started making money before I started doing comedy comedy. Okay. I ran a street team that promoted comedy clubs around New York City. That's how I got exposed to the comedy scene.
Oh, nice.
And then I started running shows before I ever did stand-up. I started producing my own shows. Mm. Then I started hosting my own shows. Damn. So I had already had an infrastructure on how to get on. So I didn't have to do open mics. I didn't have to do any. People were already kissing my ass. Yeah. I was friends with Big J and Kurt Metzger and Vecchione and Bargatze before I ever stepped on stage. I knew these guys. So that's sort of how I got, you know, backdoored in. But my first gig that I didn't pay myself for was like maybe a year later, the place called the Lizard Lounge, $100 to do a set, 15 minutes, just not prepared to do it.
Right.
It's not good. Cause I was also, when you're running your own shows, everyone's kissing your ass. Mm-hmm. Nobody's telling you that you're not funny. You sort of have like, there's like a weird, like check and balance system in comedy. You know where you're at.
For sure.
It's like you can't fake it. It's like the open mics, you're getting your laughs or you're not.
Yeah.
I was always pretty personable and good at hosting. Like I understood how to host really well. Like I was presenting my show.
Right.
It was like, Barnum and Bailey. Like it just felt more like, you know, I had music and an intro and fucking so I think that's why like I just had false confidence very quickly in comedy. I was just like, oh, I can fucking do this.
Yeah, and I remember to go up there and do a set.
Yeah. I remember Patrice at stand up New York being like, why are you so confident? And I was like, damn,
what the fuck are you acting? Damn. That's crazy.
That's fucking
nuts. You went ahead
and learned comedy. He's on my show. I'm like, fucking, because like, and I was very cocky.
Yeah.
Not because I thought I was so good at comedy. I was cocky because I was filling up rooms. My show. I got this King of Clubs tattoo because I was a King of Comedy Clubs baby boy. Yeah. This is before I did stand up. It's really cringy. I know. But I did have like a cockiness because it was like I was bringing in hundreds of people to this comedy clubs through my street teams every week. And
that just transfer into your comedy.
Yeah. And then I went on the road with Big J at like a year in and I asked him to go over my bits with me. He was just high as fuck. And I was like, all right, tell me your bits. I told him my bit. He was like, I just dropped that. He's like, it's not that good. I was like, that's my opener. And then he's like, tell me another one. And I told him another one. He was like, yeah, drop that one too. I was like, that's my closer. And then he was like, don't tell me any more fucking jokes. Dude. He was like, because the reality is you can't, with a comic who's a year in, you can't actually do, you can't break down, their jokes are going to suck, period, no matter what.
Yeah.
And you have to go through the process of sucking.
Yeah.
You can't fake it. Like I said, it's like jiu-jitsu.
You can't skip
that process of learning how to write jokes in your voice, learning how to kill with jokes that aren't that good. That's all a part of it. And it really fucked me up because this is the guy that I looked up to the most. And it like really got in my head. And then I started bombing for like a year or two straight.
Yeah.
Because I was like every, I was like this. So like,
you
really
thought it.
But then it was also kind of really good to bomb as well. And to kind of, you know, experience.
That's the only time you learn. Yeah. I learn shit when I kill. I only learn when I bomb.
So that, but yeah, that's sort of how I got introduced to all that shit.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
It took me like, it probably took me like 6 months. And I got paid $40.
Nice.
And I bombed my ass off, $40 for 10 minutes. And when I got there, I was probably only had 5 minutes of jokes.
Yep.
And they weren't good. And when I got there, it was a bunch of like older black ladies in there, like a bunch of grandmoms and aunties and shit. And I looked at the promoter. I was like, bro, I can't be in here cursing in front of all these aunties and grandmoms. And he was like, yeah, not you can. He's like, they like that dirty shit. Just do your thing. I'm like, nah. So then I went up there and tried to do a clean set.
No.
And I didn't have a clean set. And I just bombed. It was just the worst shit ever. It was so bad, it got quiet as hell. And this black lady yelled out. She started clapping. She said, it's okay, baby.
Oh, no.
Keep going.
Oh, it's okay. Baby.
They liked you. Yep. And I was like, fuck.
Oh, it's brutal.
Nobody was laughing. I'm like, dang.
Dude.
And then after the show, he went to give me the $40. And I was like, yo, you still gonna pay me? He was like, yeah. I was like, oh, shit.
I did.
I was like, it's comedy shit, all right.
My first real show was probably like 6 months after I started. I started when I was like 19, 20.
Yeah, 20.
But it was right after Josh Potter moved to LA. He came back to like a homecoming show type thing. And I was on it and my parents were supportive, so they came, but they invited
Josh, you creep. You put a 19-year-old girl on your show.
I was 20.
You're a fucking creep.
But
I know what Josh was trying to do.
It's my first like real big show. And so I was cool with my parents coming, but they invited like the rest of the family.
Oh no.
So, like,
oh, it's brutal.
My uncle, my grandpa.
Oh, yo, what are we doing?
And so my grandpa like was like, I'm so excited to see you, blah, blah, blah. And like by the end of the show, he didn't even hug me.
No. Did you bomb?
No, I didn't bomb, but like
you did well with dirty.
Yeah, with,
yeah, it was well, her, like yeah. Vagina and abortion jokes. Yeah. What else am I going to talk about?
You're a woman.
Yeah. So yeah, it was just like
that's brutal.
That sucks. I remember very early, this girl that I had a crush on, Liz Green. Shout out Liz Green, my buddy Dave Green's older sister. I was like in love with this girl like in high school.
Yeah,
and you know, I had started comedy when I was like 22, maybe. So this, I'm maybe 23 years old. I was really early. I'm at the Laugh Factory, or not Laugh Factory, Laugh Lounge on the Lower East Side. And I invited them out to the show. It was a show that I produced, and it was just like 30 people in the crowd.
Yeah.
It was just not a good show. Dude, I'm fucking, I remember just going, I'm doing my material. And you could just see everyone's faces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bombing. Dude, I'm just like, I look at this table of like this girl and her friends. Like, I'm just literally watching them all kind of like look down and not look at me. It's the most uncomfortable fucking feeling. It's like, they're, oh.
Damn.
Dude, doing comedy in the beginning sucks.
You know, it's
bad when the high is just getting laughs.
Yeah.
And then the low is like not being able to pay your rent and bombing and just fucking.
Yeah, bro.
It's like, what am I even doing here? There's no path. There's no concept of like, well, like now it's like different because like I think like, you guys, people talk a lot more as well. I think people are aware of like the path to how to make money and there's a lot of different things you could do. But when I started in comedy, when I was a couple years in, like it was like waiting to get a development deal with NBC.
Damn.
It was trying to get to Just for Laughs, which I did. You do New Faces. You're trying to get an agent. You're trying to get a development deal with NBC, Fox, whatever it is. And you're trying to, you know, they put you into different TV shows, hopefully a sitcom about your life, you know, half hour Comedy Central special, do an hour for HBO. That was the only path. And there was only a handful of people being plucked for that.
Right.
It wasn't like, so now it's just it's a lot less.
Yeah, you got podcasts. And,
yeah, it's a lot less scary, I think, now. But like,
yeah.
if you bombed back then, dude, a big showcase, dude, I mean, you'd cry. You would literally walk out of it and go like, yo, it's over. Like, it feels like I have no path to fucking doing anything. I had no idea what to do.
Yeah, you're like, damn, I'm probably never going to have this opportunity again.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it was a different, I think, yeah, that'd be a little bit. You had to really fucking want it back then. Now people like, they go to Austin, they're like, oh, I'll get on Kill Tony and I'll do a minute. And if I'm weird enough that may turn into, you know, and I'm not knocking that system, you know what I'm saying? But like, we never really had any of that.
Right.
There was no easy path at all. There was a handful of guys that were fast-tracked. Pete Davidson, to even say he was fast-tracked is unfair to him because it's not like he wasn't talented or didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
He had a unique thing. he, at very young in his career, got a lot of opportunities opened up because he was a teenager who, you know, had this sort of unique vibe. There was a few guys, Michael Che, another guy, you know, but he was still like, even Fast Track, like 7-8 years of like doing comedy in New York before he started like getting things. That's not really fast. That's not really fast. But that's, when you consider how big he got, he was kind of Fast Track compared to guys that are doing it sometimes 15, 20 years before they catch any breaks. But all right, look, we got to wrap. Well, I'll talk to the industry all fucking day. This is a lot of fun.
It's fun.
You guys are the shit, man. Naeem Ali, support everything that he does. Sam Manny, make sure you guys support everything she does. If you're in Austin, come watch her shows. Cards, Comics Against Humanity, and all that other stuff. And you have your show in Philly, right?
Yeah.
Live show?
Live show, Do Regular Dare Tag. And, The Stand. Drip Comedy Show at The Stand, first Wednesday every month. Come through, yo.
Hell yeah. Oh, I'm doing the Depraved again at The Stand on the 21st, Sunday the 21st. It's going to be a great one. Dave Smith, Sam Hyde, Big J. It's going to be a fucking big,
be crazy.
It's going to be a big show, boys. So come out to that. And we'll check you guys next time on your favorite podcast, The Real Ass Podcast. Good night.
That's all, folks.